going to be this morning. Woke up early this morning. Somewhere around 3:30. I felt sick. If it had been 9:30 in the morning, I would have called my brother Jim and begged off this morning. But I couldn't get back to sleep, and I got up and I knelt before God. I asked for wisdom and inspiration this morning. As I rose, several thoughts came to my mind that I trust were from the Lord. I don't feel I can stand here this morning and tell you anything new. I don't believe I can stand here and really tell you anything that most do not already know. I feel like Peter this morning, maybe a little bit. And he said that he couldn't put us in remembrance of anything new, or couldn't teach us anything new, but could bring those things to remembrance. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said that it is the power of God to salvation. You know, as we sang the second song this morning, Leaning on Jesus, you know, a thought came to my mind that as we lean on Him, as we trust Him, as we put our faith in Him, without any reservations, that He will keep us, that His power, His might can be in our lives. In the gospel, as we read, we learn of the fall of man. We read and we learn of why man had to fall. But through the fall, man's eyes were open to good and evil. Because of the fall, man was given knowledge. For before that, man was naive, had not that knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord decreed that from the beginning that there had to be an opposition in all things, that there had to be evil. Just the same as we have to experience cold to know if it's hot, we have to experience pain to know when we're not in pain. So we have to experience evil. We have to be tempted. We have to be tried. And through that trial and through that temptation, to make a decision. As most of us here this morning have made that decision, have been tried, have come to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ and its power to salvation. That from the fall, mankind was redeemed, was given the chance to again partake of God's goodness and to work our way back into His presence. John 3:16, we read that God gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Grace of God. God loved us so much that he was willing to be sent his only begotten Son. But whosoever, not just you and me, but whosoever believes in him should not perish. That grace of God that opened the door for mankind to be brought from back from the fall. The love of God. You know, Jesus hung on the cross and the events leading up to it probably knew that the majority of the people would not accept that grace. That the majority of people would not accept the love of God and put into practice those things that he laid down for the salvation of man. We learn through the gospel that salvation comes by faith in God, repentance, baptism, living the Word of God. I heard a man the other week. He was preaching. He said that we can't be saved by our works. It's only by the grace of God. To a certain extent, that is true. On our own, by our own works, we'd fall far short. But because of the forgiveness of God and his strength, we can be lifted up. And if we strive to do our best, we may fall short. We may not be able to attain the perfection that Jesus Christ laid down for us. But if we do our best, if we strive daily and not make excuses for ourselves and rely on the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, we can obtain that salvation. Scriptures, many promises. We have the promise of eternal life. If we take hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ, apply it to our lives and endure to the end, we shall be saved. In this life, we have many promises that God has given us. Many gifts. Perhaps the most important would be the gift of the Holy Ghost. That Christ said that he would give to those who kept his commandments. As we entered the waters of baptism and came out a new creature, we received the laying on of hands for the reception of that gift. A gift, I believe, that is given freely to us, not by man, but by God. It's a gift that we don't always realize that we have. Sometimes we forget. Just because we don't feel the burning within our hearts and our minds that from time to time, I think sometimes we feel that when we don't feel that burning, that we don't have a constant companion. But he is our companion. And Christ promised that it would be that constant companion. I think sometimes we feel him more than others. But I don't believe that he's any less with us when we don't feel him. As we walk through life, daily. We don't know sometimes when the Lord has protected us, when the Lord has strengthened us or kept us from a temptation. Sometimes we're full aware of His power in our lives, of His interference in the affairs of the children of man to bring about His purposes, to protect His people. Sometimes in the daily course of our lives, the Holy Spirit works silently. And as we look back, we can see that God was there. I think sometimes we really don't take full advantage of God and His gifts. I think in our own humanness, in our own minds, we may limit God. Limit God to what He can do for us in our lives. We limit God to maybe the miracles that He can perform, to the blessings He gives us. When we stop and look back, I don't think there's any of us here that hasn't experienced a miracle of God, that hasn't had God's touch in their lives, either in their own personal lives in a great miracle, or witnessed it in someone else. But what constitutes a miracle? Is it something that is earth-shattering? Something that is so grand and so large that nothing else can compare with it? Or can a miracle be the quiet working of God in our lives? I know for many of us that stand in this room, the miracle is in our being called to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, everyone that is called from the world and accepts this gospel as a miracle. I could stand and go on for some time with the miracles in my life. Let's take advantage. Let's have the faith and the hope and reach out. Reach out and take advantage of God's arm and His goodness and His mercy. What was laid upon my mind the heaviest this morning was God's forgiveness. I think sometimes we walk through life carrying a weight upon our shoulders, carrying a guilt upon our shoulders for past sins. Not accepting God's forgiveness. You know, when we entered into the waters of baptism, we received the remission of our sins. When we sought God and repented before Him, when we entered the waters and come out again, we were a new creature. Sometimes we still carry the weight and the guilt of those sins. Daily, as we walk through life, as we fall short, we can't go to God and release our sins to Him. And we go to God, we pray for forgiveness, and we walk away and still have them upon our back. Not willing to accept His forgiveness, and not willing to accept the forgiveness of our brothers and sisters. Many walk with that guilt upon them. Many walk not feeling that their brothers and sisters can forgive them. I believe it's in Jeremiah that the Lord says that He'll cast their sins into the sea and forget them. Can we do any less? Can we say that we can't forgive our brothers or sisters? Can we give the impression that even though we've forgiven, we haven't forgotten? We can't say we forgive our brother and our sister and remember that sin or that shortcoming. As we forgive, we have to forget. We have to allow that person to feel free. We have to allow that person to shake their guilt, to shake the burden, the heaviness that is upon them, and to feel free from that burden. Just the same as we can't say to a brother or sister, we love you, in the same breath, find fault with the way they live. I jotted down two scriptures dealing with forgiveness. There's probably 100 of them in the concordance. Most of them are just one verse. I'm not just going to read them. 1 John, the first chapter, says, John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Colossians, the third chapter, the 13th verse, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even so as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The 17th chapter of St. Luke, I'd like to read the 3rd and 4th verse. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Will the Lord do any less for us? As we go to Him, seeking forgiveness. And I'm not saying we can willfully go out and commit the same over and over and over again. But as we go stronger, the Lord will forgive us. We have to within ourselves have that inner strength to attempt to overcome the temptation, the weakness that we have. But as we seek the Lord for His forgiveness, so shall He forgive us. We can rise from our knees and feel free. The same as we should be able to walk before our brothers and our sisters in the gospel, feel free from that sin or that burden. The same as we, as brothers and sisters, should not bring up again past mistakes or past faults. We as brothers or sisters should not point our finger and say this is wrong with our brother or that. If we judge people through our own eyes, I think we each have a yardstick within us that we measure and judge others by. Probably thinking that we ourselves are more perfect than we really are. So we judge ourselves on what we think is right and wrong. maybe what we think is righteous and unrighteous. Judging others when we ourselves may stand in the shadow of that same judgment. Fourth chapter of Ephesians, the 32nd verse. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. There's another scripture I just came to mind, I didn't write down. It says, if we don't forgive our brothers and our sisters, then God won't forgive us. If we don't forget, but we see a shortcomings in our brothers and our sisters, God won't forgive us. Just as when we accept the grace of God, we have to put it into action. You know, I have a car. I fill the tank with gas and I drive it for a week and it runs out of gas, that's where I'm stuck. I have to take care of that car. I have to fix it when it breaks down. I have to refuel it. Same with the grace of God. We have to take that grace, but we have to do our part. Same with forgiveness. We have to do our part. So our brothers and our sisters, not only those within this gospel, but those without. As best we can, forgive those also. And live peaceably with our brothers and our sisters and with our fellow man. Nephi. When he was being led by God, I think each of us know how God worked with that brother. The faith that he had, power that God gave him, the authority that God gave him. Even in his strength, he felt his weaknesses. Even a man that I feel was richly blessed of God, that God used mightily. A man that exercised his faith, a man that allowed God to use him, who endured adversity, a man who I feel lived his life in such a way that God could use him mightily. This same man had fears, had weaknesses. Page 92 in the Book of Mormon, he took these fears and these weaknesses to God. Confessing before God the goodness of God to him, at the same time asking God, when he'd been blessed so mightily, why temptations befell him. And at the end, asking for God's strength. In a way, are we any different than Nephi? We have the temptations. We feel like sometimes we don't live up to God's expectation of us. Because of that, sometimes we we tend to give up a little bit. We tend to feel that we're not worthy. And we feel that way, we tend to slip and fall and be led away. I'm going to read, it's fairly lengthy, it's from 29th verse to the end of the chapter. There might be a lesson here for us. A lesson that no matter how strong or how weak we are, how we feel that the adversary tempts us, and how we feel that we may have fallen before God, that if we go to Him with faith, asking His forgiveness and asking for Him to strengthen us, I don't think the Lord will forsake us. For my soul delighteth in the Scriptures, and my heart pondereth them, and writeth them for the learning of the profit of my children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, the great goodness of the Lord, in showing me His great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins that does so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of mine sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God has been my support. He has led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. He has preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He has filled me with His love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He's confounded mine enemies unto the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, He has heard my cry by day. He has given me knowledge by visions in the night time. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before Him. Yea, my voice have I set up on high. And angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of His Spirit has my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains. And mine eyes have beheld, pardon me, and mine eyes have beheld great things. Yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden that I should not write them. This man, keep in mind, this man was so filled with the Spirit of God that God did mighty things to him. Yet he was tempted. The same as we are tempted today. Oh then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in His condescension unto the children of men has visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep? And my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, my flesh waste away, and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions. And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise Thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in Thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. O Lord, wilt Thou redeem my soul? Wilt Thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt Thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt Thou not shut the gates of Thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, that I may be strict in the plain road? O Lord, wilt Thou make my path straight before me? Wilt Thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but that Thou wouldst clear my way before me, and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemy? O Lord, I have trusted in Thee, and I will trust in Thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss, Therefore, I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall I forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Nephi asking that the Lord would strengthen him. And I think with that asking, was willing, if need be, but there were things in his life that needed changing, to change, to allow God to talk to him, to put his trust, in God, to give up those things maybe that were afflicting his soul. I think sometimes we hesitate to point our finger. Sometimes when we stand up here, we hesitate to be plain sometimes. Maybe because we're guilty of the same things at times. Maybe because when we point at others, that we point at ourselves. It's not my intention to point my finger. It's not my intention to cause anybody to become angry. It's not my intention few thoughts to close with. Thought that came to my mind at the close of my study this morning. The thought came to my mind that maybe we should have more respect for God. Maybe there's times in our lives when we don't show proper respect to God. Don't take these as condemnations, because I know that I'm guilty of many of them, if not all. I would ask that you take these as my opinion, to think about them, and if you feel they don't apply, to reject them. If you feel maybe that within these there's some merit, something to ponder upon, I would ask that maybe you'd weigh them upon your heart. I'm not going to say much about them. Maybe we should have a little more respect for the Lord's day. Maybe we could attend to more prayer, to more study, to more fasting, to more fellowship one with another. Maybe we could be more careful of where we go and what we do. Maybe we could be more thankful for God's goodness. You know, I sit in prayer services, and I listen to prayers. And most of our prayer is asking God to do such and such for me, or my brother or my sister, for someone that's sick. And that's well and good. And we need to. The Lord wants us to. But I notice in other prayers and in my own that we devote a very small part of it to being thankful, It's being thankful for what God has given us. Being thankful for a blessing that He has given us, a prayer that He has answered. That we're slow to rise to our feet and thank God for what He's done for us. Maybe we could praise God a little bit more, both in testimony and prayer and in song. I know I'm not a good singer, so I hesitate to raise my voice. But I've been places. I've heard other churches where there was half as many as here. And you could hear them 10 times as far. Maybe sometimes when we sing unto God, that by our voices and our enthusiasm for singing, He would know that we love Him and are thankful and are praising Him. Thank you.